What you need to know on the go with Sam Walker on the all-new News Talk 92.3 WZPR.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
News team, assemble!
Let's go to Sam Walker, right? He is our guy, our go-to guy in the Outer Banks.
The sea was angry that day, my friends. Like an old man trying to send back soup in a deli.
Now here's Les Nessman and the news.
8:35 on OBX. Today we get to the WZPR Breaking News Hotline. Joining us from Parts Unknown, maybe, it's Captain Dave Carrera from the fv-tuna.com. We want to make sure we get that right because it's very important, because if you punch something in on the internet browser, it might take you somewhere you really don't want to go. Is that right, Dave?
That's right. Good morning. How's it going?
It's going well. It's going well. Glad to have you on. The debut Sunday night of the season finale of the latest edition of Wicked Tuna Outer Banks coming up Sunday night, 8:30 on National Geographic. And I know, what's your experience been like with this whole TV deal?
I mean, it's been pretty good. I mean, here we are. We just finished filming season 10 up here, 20 episodes, and 7 down there, although this is my first season down there. So, I mean, all in all, it's been 17 seasons. I would have never thought we would have got beyond, you know, season 1 or 2. As most reality TV shows, they don't make it but a season. So I'm happy to be here still.
Now, you, of course, didn't grow up in the fishing industry like so many here on the Outer Banks who end up in it. And I guess it's probably about a 50-50. There's half of the guys out there that here on the Outer Banks, it's in your blood. It's third and fourth generation. You got to start a much different than I think anybody that's a charter captain or a captain in general out here in our fleet or any fleet in general. Tell us more about that.
I grew up fishing, but you know, it was definitely not in my family. My dad always had a boat, but it was just more for recreational fishing. You know, I've been fishing since I've been about 5 with my father, just in, you know, local ponds and lakes. But we did grow up on the Jersey Shore, where Greg is from. We actually grew up in adjacent towns, and I started fishing right around when I was like 14, 15 years old. I started working on a party boat, but again, it wasn't family related. It was just on my own. It's kind of, I found my way, and I've been fishing, you know, ever since. You know, it's definitely a lot different than, you know, like Paul Hebert on the Wicked Pissa. He's, you know, he's like third generation. You know, for me, I am first generation.
Dave Carraro, Captain Dave Carraro from the fv-wickedtuna. fv-tuna.com from Wicked. I know. Yeah, you. Yeah, I know that's got to be kind of confusing. When you say Wicked Tuna and your boat name's Tuna in it, that kind of throws you upside down. All right, this season, let's throw in the pandemic on top of everything else that happened around here. What was this season like compared to other seasons?
I mean, down there, when we were filming, we did not know what was going on at the time. You know, when we started filming in the middle of January, and we went through February, and you know, it just started making the news. So there was really no CDC protocols. You know, really nobody knew what it was at the time. Most of the people that were in the hospital sick or were at home sick, you know, thought they had the flu or bronchitis or just had a cold. When in reality, you know, many of them, it was COVID. So it was more towards the end when we started, you know, getting the news that, hey, this is what's going on. So it did not really affect our operations as it did up here this summer filming season 10. It was definitely a different ballgame up here.
Yeah, I was going to say that you guys got out and finished the filming here before Dare County put in the restrictions on travel. I know that would have been probably... Once you're down here, it's not just you guys, but of course it's the film crews. It's a production crew that's involved as well. So that would have probably been something that would have been very difficult to deal with, not being able to leave because you're not a resident here or a property owner. If you had to go to Norfolk or something like that to do things, was there any discussions about that? If you guys had not gotten out, what would have happened?
No, not really. Like I said, we were kind of blessed to get it done, wrap it up before all of that really went into place. I mean, at the time when we left, you know, I could have returned if I'm not mistaken. I did have to come down and get my boat like a month later. And when I did that, I had to talk to one of the troopers. I had to get written permission. and I had to carry that letter with me that I downloaded on the computer and bring it with me. When I crossed the bridge, there was a roadblock there. I had to give him the notice from the officer stating it was okay for me to come in and get my boat. I had 24 hours, and I had to be out of there. So
wow.
Definitely a different world at the time, and still is.
Yeah, definitely. Captain Dave Carraro of FV-Tuna.com here on News Talk 92.3 WZPR and OBX today. Dave, this season, what can we expect as far as the finale goes, but how the season itself has gone on TV? Give us a little more detail.
Yeah, it was a great season pretty much for all the boats. You know, it was only one fish a day. That's all we were allowed. So, you know, with that said, no one boat can really, if it was multiple fish a day, you know, one boat, if they had one or two good days, could really run away with it. But at one fish a day, you know, it was a tight race the entire season, and it's going to be a tight race, you know, to the very end. You know, I mean, a lot of us are neck and neck. A lot of us are neck and neck, you know, to the last episode, and it's going to be a very, very good ending, and something very big happens on thetuna.com on the very last day here, the very last episode this Sunday.
All right, we're looking forward to 8:30 on National Geographic, Wicked Tuna Outer Banks, transiting Oregon Inlet, which has its challenges for no matter what size vessel you are, whether you're the tiny little skiff trying to go there and pick up a few spot, or for you guys going out there, what you do with our charter fleet that goes in and out every day. Two things that have occurred, of course, obviously, is the shoaling out on the outer bar that, in fact, it's worse now than it was when you guys were here. We just got the latest from the Corps of Engineers. We got the dredges coming back into the month and 1st of November. Explain how that is for someone who's not from here trying to navigate Oregon Inlet and what it's like compared to other parts of the country for you.
Yeah, you know, up here in Gloucester, I mean, we pull out of the slip, we go to the fishing grounds, and we have deep water from the beginning to the fishing grounds and back. You know, down there, you know, like you said, that bar is definitely, it's very challenging for the locals, and it's even more challenging for myself. I don't have that local knowledge, and I don't have that comfort that the other boats have, if you want to even call it comfort. You know, it's definitely something to it's a concern. You know, each day I went out, you know, specifically with the outgoing tide and an easterly or northeasterly swell, it was definitely nerve wracking for me. You know, I watched the locals sitting there waiting to pick their set to get through. And here I am, you know, not really understanding it as well as they do, or not even close. And there are 2 days that I did not cross when the other boats did. And, you know, that really set us back fish wise. Those days we didn't get out. Obviously, we didn't catch, but the other boats did. And, you know, if I can go back and do it again, I would still stick with my decision and not go that day. You know, it's about calculated risk for me. And I was not willing to take that risk knowing I did not have the experience those guys have. I mean, a couple days we went out, we almost blew out our windows. You know, and you do that, that's going to set you back for the entire season. And on top of it, it's going to take what profit you did make, and it's going to now put you in the red with repair. So it's definitely a very challenging place, probably the most challenging place on the East Coast. And I fished out of many inlets. And it's just happy that my boat is still in one piece.
definitely. What marina did you fish out of when you're down here?
I was out of the fishing center.
Okay, so you're okay. So you didn't have to. I mean, other than trying to navigate the crack, you really didn't have to deal with everything back going into Shallow Bag and going down to Wanchese, which is it's got its whole challenges itself. But I mean, even trying to get through the crack sometimes. Yeah, you did. Okay, so you did get over to Wanchese, but even trying to get through the crack sometimes. And if folks aren't familiar with that, the crack is that channel that runs right alongside the Bass Knight Bridge. You could see it better when the Bonner Bridge was there, but now with the Bass Knight Bridge, you can't see it so much till you're right up along the shoulder there. But that itself, just getting to the inlet gorge and getting out to the bar, that's a whole different world than a lot of other places around, isn't it?
Absolutely. But you know, thankful to Greg and the locals, the people I didn't even know, just the Southern hospitality was amazing. They showed me the exact way to go through there, where to go, where not to go. And it was a lot easier, or I should say it was a lot less difficult than I had thought, you know, thanks to the help of Greg and the locals again. But yeah, it's definitely, you know, different. Like you said, we leave here, we got deep water, you know, round trip, but even just getting to the bridge, man, if you turn 5 degrees to port or 5 degrees to starboard, you're going to be in the mud.
Of course, you're talking about Captain Greg Mayer on the Fishing Frenzy, who have had the pleasure of fishing with, man, it's been like 4 years ago we went out and had a pretty decent day on the tuna, on the yellowfins with Greg out of the Oregon Inlet Fishing Center. Now, when you go up to Gloucester from here, do you go up the Intracoastal Waterway?
No, I like just taking a straight shot across. It's from the buoy there at the bar to Buzzards Bay there, straight across, just touching the canyons on the way. It's about 500 miles. The Intracoastal Waterway. The last day I did come home, I did stay inside until Norfolk because we were at Spencer Yachts there having some work done. So it was just easy enough just to head north instead of heading south and back all the way around. So we I like going offshore, but if I have to go inside, I will.
So you did go by my old house. I lived for the last 5 years on the Coin Jock Canal, on the cut there by Coin Jock Marina. We did see you go up and down once or twice here, and a lot of the boats that come down from you guys, we'll see them go by the house there on occasion. So you did go by the house. Okay, I thought so.
I did. I actually got fuel in Coin Jock.
Oh, okay, yep, you got it from Louis.
Keep the fuel on the East Coast.
That's right. Talking with Dave Carreau, captain of thetuna.com here. Wicked Tuna, Outer Banks, new episode, the final episode, 90-minute episode of the season drops Sunday at 8:30 on National Geographic Channel. I'm going to let you go, and the reason I'm going to let you go, because you're going to be calling into my colleagues down the hall, and they'll probably talk your ear off. So I'm going to let you catch up. Catch your breath.
All right.
Get ready for Moose and Jody coming up here in a little bit. We thank you for coming on. Looking forward to watching it on Sunday and being someone who actually had his voice on Wicked Tuna. It's pretty cool the way that stuff works. I got you talked about getting windows blown out. I ended up voicing a news story, which we actually did on our stations here on News Talk 92.3 and Beach 104 and 94.5 WCMS and 99.1 The Sound. Back season two, when one of the boats here got the whole cabin ripped off, and they used my news cut from that. It is kind of cool how they put these shows together, even though it doesn't seem like it is, and it's so disjointed when you do it, isn't it?
You have no idea how much footage there actually is. And for I would never want to be in post-production. That's got to be a tedious job, going through all the media files, going through all those moments and trying to put it together into a story where people can understand it and enjoy it.
Dave Carreau, captain of the FV-Tuna.com. You can go online and find out how to fish with them if you head up to Gloucester. And more about them, more about the Wicked Tuna Outer Banks coming up. The final edition of this season dropping on Sunday. Dave, thanks so much. Good luck to you this winter, and we look forward to talking to you again next door.
Thanks for having me on, and thanks for the fans for watching the show. We'll see you Sunday at 8:30.